Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome to our broadcast tonight. It is Monday, the 21st of August, 2017. And we pray all is well with you and your family and your home. We pray that everyone in your family is blessed. We pray that you find you today in good health and in good spirits, and that God has continued to bless you in your life. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to talk about a couple of things. We have two segments tonight. We're going to talk one a little bit about domestic violence. We're going to talk about the character of a man. And we're just going to share some insights and some wisdom. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, you can call in and join the conversation. Share your insights and your wisdom by calling 646-668-2636. Press 1 on your keypad. You can join the conversation and share your insights and your thoughts on our topics tonight. Amen. And we have a couple announcements. We have some upcoming events. We have some community outreach events here locally in the Baltimore area, Baltimore, Anne Arundel County area. So we're going to get right into the program tonight. First, we'll go over with scripture and a word of prayer. I'm going to be reading tonight from 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3, starting at verse number 11. And the word of God says, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Verse 14. And if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is within you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Father God, we say thank you today, God. We thank you for your word, O God. We thank you, God, for righteousness, God. We thank you for giving us the wisdom and strength, O God. We thank you by the leading and guiding of your Holy Spirit that we be able to stand the insults and the chastisement and the condemnation of the unbelieving world, God. That when we stand for righteousness, O God, you have our backs, God. You have keeping us. You give us patience to endure, O God, that we are faithful to you, God, that we might stand before you and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. So, God, continue to bless those that are listening, bless our families. I pray for my brothers, O God, who have sicknesses in their body today, God, that you would heal them, God. That those, oh God, in the hospital beds, in the hospital rooms, God, they would be able to be healed and return home, Lord God. For those who are homesick and shut in, God, we're praying for their recovery also, Lord God. So, Father, we know you are the healer. So touch their lives, touch their bodies, strengthen them and keep them. And this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, tonight, we have a couple announcements here. First, we're going to begin with the William Souls Evangelistic Church Helping Hands Food Pantry. The food pantry is open every second and fourth Saturday of the month from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And this coming Saturday, the 26th, it will be open. You must have an ID. You have fresh fruit, fresh vegetables, and meat is available. The location for the church is 2322 Mountain Road in Pasadena, Maryland, 21122. The church phone number is 410-437-0137. And if you don't happen to live in the Pasadena, Maryland area, if you call the church, they can definitely direct you to a food pantry in your neighborhood. It's a network of pantries here throughout the Anne Arundel County, Maryland area. And we can definitely know there's a pantry in your neighborhood if need be. Amen? Amen. Also, this Saturday, we have an outreach event coming up for Back to Academics Community Social on August 26th from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. It's going to be located at 1153 Reese Road in Severn, Maryland. Participating ministries is Jesus Saves Family Ministries, where the pastor there is Pastor George Sharps. Beyond the Walls Church Outreach for Covenant Lifehouse Ministries, where the pastor is Pastor Joseph Powell. The Community of Love United Outreach of Severn, Youth and Young Adults and Senior Outreach Program, and that coordinator and leader there is Brother Darren Boone. And again, we're going to have ministry out there is haircuts. We have coupons. It's going to be a $5 off for the Turning Heads Barbershop. It's giving a $5 off special for all haircuts on that day. We're going to have school supplies. We're going to have refreshments. There's going to be a DJ, music, food, gifts, and a lot of fun out there in the parking lot. So I encourage you to come out and join. If you have any details or like to join and set up a table, call Brother Boone at 410-412-4945. That's 410-412-4945. And come out and join us and be part of the event. Amen? Amen. Well, those are some announcements for this weekend. We got a lot going on. The kids are going back to school in another week in most places. I know here in Maryland Maryland and New York, and I have folk listening down south. Some of the folk down south already went back to school. But it's that season. Kids are going back, and we have a lot of giveaways here. If you go on our Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page, we have a lot of links, a lot of flyers, a lot of ministries. For those, if you need help in getting a lot of the school supplies, because as we all know, elementary, middle school, they have requirements for the kids to bring things in. So there's a lot of outreach. A lot of churches have come together, built some resources, given away backpacks, given away school supplies to help community, help the kids, so they can be prepared to go back, and then no parent would have to suffer and struggle just to get some of the school supplies because they can be expensive. And if you have multiple kids in your family, we all know that can be right really expensive. So if you go to Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page, you'll see a link there for all of what's going on in some of the churches here locally. Amen. Well, tonight, we're doing two segments tonight because there's some things we want to talk about tonight, some of these issues that affect men's lives. The first one we really want to talk about, which is a very important issue. This is the month of October is coming, which is National Domestic Violence Month. So we're going to be out and doing a lot of events coming up for that, opportunities to educate, opportunities to outreach and help those who may be victims or even the victimizers or abusers of domestic violence. So one of the things we're going to talk about tonight for men is 10 things that men can do to be able to end domestic violence and violence against women. Some of the things we have to do for some of us as husbands, as fathers, as sons, grandfathers, uncles, you know, we there's things we can do. Let me just put it that way. There's things we can do that can help prevent it, to help overcome it, to help stop it. But we have to be proactive in it. And that's where I think a lot of it is. We have to be able to on purpose about it, be proactive instead of responsive. We all know the responsive. If someone's a victim, you know, getting to the hospital, getting in counseling, intervening. But some of the things we have to be as men, as husbands and fathers, is to be proactive with our daughters, with our sons, with those in our families. So I'm going to touch on some of the 10 things today that we can do as men, as individuals, as we are the men in our homes, as we are patriarchs, as we lead the family and leading the community. There's some things that we can do ourselves. The first one is to break out of the man box, challenge traditional images of manhood, to keep you from taking a stand. The simplest way I can describe that is the Old Boys Network. For some of us, if you've known throughout your life, depending on your age, you've known brothers who struggled, brothers who have maybe hit women, who've been in violent relationships, maybe not as, but, you know, you know couples who fuss and fight and get, they get physical every now and then. It's up, it's down, it's back. And sometimes as men, we hear about it. Some brothers brag about it. Some brothers come to us when they're having the problems. When it happened, we hear about it. But what are we doing? What do we do when those opportunities come up? We hear, are we proactive? Are we trying to respond to it? Are we just being a listening ear? But sometimes we have to take action to end the violence. And sometimes that may be intervening. You know, there was a survey done. I seen a video once on Facebook where they had a video where they had a male and a female arguing. And one of the scenarios was the man was being physical with the woman. And a lot of people, you know, intervened, shouted, called the police, stepped in, you know, tried to separate her from him. And, you know, that's one thing. But then they did another scenario where these are actors on the street in a public area, and that the woman was physically abusing the man. She was swinging at him, hitting him, you know, cussing him out, all these things. And no one really intervened when the man was the victim. People watched, people jeered, and people, you know, like we know this, now this generation, people even took out their phones, you know, and recorded the video. And that's one of the things we have to take a different stand, especially as Christian men and men of God. We have to be able to take a stand, be able to intervene and get outside the box and even talk to it about like the young men in our lives. For those coaches out there, for those school teachers, those male role models, those mentors, are we speaking to our young men about violence against women and what to do? And one of the trick things that I've also learned over the years is when I was involved with some of the teachings and some of the dialogue series and some of the seminars is, what do we teach our men? We all tell our young boys never to hit a woman, never hit a girl, don't hit a woman. But do we tell them and give them direction and guidance if their girlfriend, if their wife is abusive, those females in their life become abusive toward them? What do we tell them how to handle that? Amen? We need to think about that. The second thing, ask how you can help. If you suspect abuse or an assault, or if you are abusing another in any way, stop and seek professional help. Get help immediately. If we hear about it, and for those that are listening, this might be something, you know, you could have just came off an episode last month, last year, 6 months ago. Are you seeking real help? Or are you just trying to let it die down, let time heal it and just forget about it? Don't talk about it. Say I'm sorry. Apologize. And do all those things. But are you really getting some help to figure out what it is? Is it anger? Is it your insecurities? What is it about you that makes you strike out physically in violence? Amen? Teach your children. Teach your daughters, no means no. Teach your children to say no and mean no. That stop means stop. That violence, you know, our young folk going to college, in high schools, in these relationships, even middle school. We're at this point now in this culture where, you know, middle schoolers are talking today, quote unquote, in relationships and dating. But are we teaching them and are we preparing them? Are we just taking it for granted? Because because sometimes we get caught up if our child is successful, if our child is getting good grades and participate and seem like they're popular, but we never know what's going on behind the scenes and under the surface in their interaction, in their personal interactions and relationships with their peers. So we have to be able, as fathers and as husbands, be able to intervene and speak into their lives of children. No means no, stop means stop. Amen? Amen. Don't buy the argument that sexual and domestic violence are due to mental illness, lack of anger management, skills, chemistries, depression, stress, and a bunch of excuses, basically. Don't buy into it. If you know a brother, a man that's hit his woman, his girlfriend, his wife, don't buy into his excuses. He was upset. He was drunk. He was this. He was that. Same thing when it goes to females. You know, don't take the excuse. I did just went off handle. They lost their emotions. They got upset. It lost control. Those are not valid excuses that violence can be perpetrated in a relationship. Again, don't buy the excuses. Help them seek help. Ask them, can you help? Help them to get some counseling. Help them do something. Because, you know, once is once. The second time could end up in a hospital. The second time you could end up dead. As simple as that. It's the violence is violence. It can be a lot of things, physical violence, death. And we look at it all the time. If we look at the papers, if we look at the news, we see violence in families and homes where mothers are killing babies and fathers are killing their children and their wives and their girlfriends. It's out there. But what are we doing? What are you doing? What is your church doing to combat it, to engage it, to teach, to minister to? You know, one of the things we talk about a lot that we're going to continue to talk about is with my pastors, elders, deacons out there, what is your church's plan for domestic violence? What is your church doing to help stop it, prevent it, teach it? And if someone came into your ministry at a Sunday service, a Bible study, a prayer meeting, and told you they were victims or revealed to one of your leaders that they're a victim, what is your church's policy? What's the procedure? What will happen next? What is the next step? But do we pray for them and then send them back into that same situation? Because God forbid that someone would come to your ministry, come to your leaders, and nothing's done, and we find out the next week someone's in the hospital or someone's dead. It's as simple as that. Because domestic violence is a thing that doesn't have nothing to do with race, ethnicity, socioeconomical, what area of town, where section of town you live in, you're a renter, a buyer, a homeowner, black, white, whatever. It goes across the board. Amen? Number five, stand up and speak out. Silence affirms and supports sexual and domestic violence. We don't say nothing. It's all okay. We hear about it. We don't say nothing. We don't challenge other brothers. For my men out there, for my brothers, we hear about stuff in locker rooms and bars and whatever gathering. We hear about these things, and we don't challenge those that we are connected with. When the subject comes up, they talk about this, talk about their girlfriend hit them, or they hit their girlfriend, or they had to slap her around or cuss her out or whatever. Because when we talk about this violence, too, we want to talk about it's more than just physical. It's emotional. It's verbal. It's psychological. It's a lot to it. And we hear about it. Some brothers brag about it. They're manipulating women. But what do we do? What do we say as Christian men, as men of God? Number six, look in the mirror. Do we own attitudes and actions that help support the objectifying and devaluing of women and girls? All right? That means, I'll make it simple. Strip clubs, pornography, it's all okay. Cat calls, you know, comments. We talk about each other on how one woman looks, this, that, her body, her shape, her butt, her breasts. That's all objectifying and devaluing as a woman. We see her just as physical. And the thing that I start with is even with young brothers, if it was your mother or sister, would you want them to say the same thing you're saying about someone else's mother or sister? And that's where the conversation begins. Amen. Number seven, be a model for the youth. Mentor boys, teach boys, teach them words and actions that being a man means and respecting a woman. Again, just because, and we have to be careful, just because a young brother is raised by his mother, grandmother, aunties, and he doesn't have a male role model, that doesn't mean he's going to respect and fear women. That could be his pent-up rage, depending on his home environment, where he can actually be raised by women and grow up to be a man who hates women and wants to control them because he was controlled by a woman. But that's just me. I just put it out there. But we have to think about that. Are we being role models for young men, teaching what it means to really respect the women? And also, in respecting a woman, on the other side of that, if a young man was never raised around women, he doesn't know how to be. He won't know how to be a husband or a father and be a lead in the home if he only had female leads in his home. I'll let that sit right there. Because if you've never seen a father or never seen a husband, you can't emulate something you've never seen before. So now you don't know. So when we talk about mentoring, it's more than just teaching them how to dress, teaching them how to get a job and interview. There's mentoring about some psychological and emotional things that we have to touch upon. And I believe one of these things is to head off generations of violence against women and domestic violence and sexual assault, is to be able to speak into the lives of young men. Number eight, educate yourself. Listen to and learn from women. Attend programs, events, and learn how to end domestic violence and sexual assault. I myself, that's one of the things we have to do. We have to educate ourselves. We can't assume we know the answers. We can't assume we know what it looks like. We can't assume we can define it. We can understand what it means, the effects, and the things that go on. So we have to be on purpose to educate ourselves. It's like anything else. If we want to make a difference in something, we have to educate ourselves. We educate ourselves in everything else. We also must educate ourselves to be able to do those things, which is called what we're called to do. Amen? Amen. So, number nine, step up and create a culture shift. Step up and create a culture shift that doesn't tolerate disrespecting or degrading women. Make this a men's issue. This is some of the things we have to talk about amongst ourselves. We have to be able to say to ourselves, say who we are and what we believe, and bring this up, and then bring it up. We have men's conferences. We have men's fellowships. We have men's gatherings in the churches. What are we willing to do? Are we willing to discuss this amongst them? When we do these fellowships, I know we talk about a lot of things when men come together, but are we talking about domestic violence and violence against women? Amen? Number 10, for my pastors, my elders, my deacons out there, for our fathers, my fraternity, those sorority, fraternity, men, whatever, any gathering of men, do we host a discussion, a time where the men come together? There's videos, there's teaching videos, you can bring in presenters. There's things we can do to educate those around us. I call it our circle of influence. What are we doing to be able to reach those and to be able to continue to be a blessing, to bring this subject up into the forefront, into the minds of men, and into the minds of those in the generations to come? Amen? Amen. So, again, those are the 10 things that men can do to end domestic violence and violence against women and violence in our homes and in our communities. So we encourage you to take part, make a difference, and just think about it. Think about it. Look in the mirror. Consider what goes on around you. If you have a history in your family, you know of aunties, parents, grandparents, whatever, that there was always something happening, why as a child you had to go, you know, your cousins were coming to spend the night, and for whatever reason. Again, we have to be honest, we have to be transparent, and we have to be able to deal with these issues as they come about. Amen? Amen. Well, you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m., and we pray that you would join us. If you're listening online, www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, we encourage you to call in and join us and be part of the conversation tonight. If you have any questions or any insights, any wisdom you would like to share, we encourage you to call in at 646-668-2636. I pray all is well. I pray that you would continue to be blessed. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight in our second segment, we're going to be sharing a little bit tonight also about what it means, a true Christian man, a true Christian men are. And we're going to touch on a couple of quick points here about what it means to be a true man of God, that we're fighting to be the man that God wants us to be, and to be able to live out that life. Be the husband, be the father, and just be the man that God has called us to be. We can't, you know, take it for granted. And then what are we doing, and what are we sharing and encouraging our brothers around us? Amen? And we have to understand who we are. We have to know who we are, and our greatness and our role in who we are and what God calls us and reveals us to be. So I'm going to touch on a few of those tonight, and hopefully someone will hear a word and be encouraged by it. First, I'm going to say that I am a redeemed man. Amen. We're redeemed. The Christ has paid the price. The debt has been paid. I've had my life debt covered and my future inheritance is from God. My life is no longer worthless. And I'm no longer in sin. I'm not a debt to sin. I have a great value and I am important. I now look forward to a rich meaning and purpose in God, a future plan, and the plans that God has for us. Because we are redeemed, the indwelling Holy Spirit secures and preserves our eternal salvation. So we have to know that as Christian men. Sometimes we take it for granted. We forget. We have to remind ourselves of who we are in God, that we're redeemed. And the sins. And one of the things I know that sometimes brothers struggle with is forgetting the past, forgetting the things you have done, but you're redeemed from that now. You're not that person anymore. You have a renewed mind. So we just want to encourage you. We encourage you with the scripture of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. We're going to give you homework for that. Because, you know, sometimes we spoon feed, but we want you to go and dig into the word so that you are a redeemed man. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Amen. Our second one is, I am an all and nothing man. I can do nothing without Christ. I can do all things with Christ. I am more than a champion. I win all things in his will, God's will for me, that I am all and nothing man. I am what God said I am. I can do all those things that Christ, and the things that I don't do, those sins that I've been washed and redeemed from and delivered from, is because of Christ. It's not of my own will. It's not a new thinking. It's not a renewed mind. It's not me taking positive, you know, thinking of myself, self-improvement. It's God changing me. It's the Holy Spirit changing my heart and mind, that I'm going to be guided and directed to be what I want called to be. So I know I'm an all or nothing man. I stay in obedience to his word through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because one of the things we've got to be careful as we mentor and minister to men is we're not trying to change behavior. We're trying to change hearts. We change from the inside out. It's not that we tell a brother, well, stop doing that, stop doing this, stop doing that. That's easy. We can train a dog, we can train an animal to do certain things, but if it's not in their nature, it's not in their nature. But what we're looking to change is the heart and mind, and that only can be done through obedience to the Holy Spirit in our lives. And once we give our life to Christ, he becomes our Lord. We're obedient to his word and obedient to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, I'm going to give you a scripture of John 15 and 5 for your homework, for your edification. Look that up and study upon that. Second one, I am a chosen man. I have been handpicked by God the Father. My salvation is not accidental. God intended it and planned it for me. God knew every name that was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He knew exactly who we are. He knew when salvation would come into our lives. He put things in our lives, the steps, the process, to get us to the place where we come to the knowledge of who he is and that day that we surrendered ourselves unto him. So it's not an accident, but he put us where we are. He put us in a place. He put people in our lives. If it was your parents, if it was your pastor or the guy at work who introduced you to Christ, or all those, whatever it took for God to get you, God was on intentional seeking after you, and that you would be obedient and that you would surrender unto him. Because God calls each of us to live forever, even if we don't deserve it. He called us into salvation. It was God's choice, because he loved us so that he sent our son and that he orchestrated for us to be saved. We were predestined and preordained. Amen. For our scripture for that, to know that you are a chosen man, Romans 8 and 30. Romans 8 and 30. Search that out. Make it part of your devotional. Make it part of your prayer, because you are chosen by God for salvation. Amen. Also, I want to give you a second scripture for that, for being a chosen man, is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. So we encourage you to search the word, take the word, apply the word, and pray that God will continue to use you. Amen? Amen. You listen to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and tonight we're talking about a true Christian man are. True Christian men are. We touched on three so far. You're a redeemed man, you're an all or nothing man, and you're a chosen man. Amen. Number four, I am a man known by God as I know him. As you know God, God knows you. I have been known and cared about all along. God has been watching out for me from the beginning. God has cared for me, his son, from day one. And that goes back to being chosen. Again, God has known us. He knew us from the foundation of the world. He knew us when we were in our mother's womb. For those brothers out there that, you know, that were not all, didn't go to church, wasn't raised in a Christian home, but today you are a man of God. God knew that day was coming. No matter what you've been through, no matter what you've gone through, no matter what you've done. Because remember, if we look at Scripture, some of the men that God used were not perfect men. They didn't all come from good Christian homes, and their parents were saved, and their parents were Holy Ghost filled. Some of them came from jacked up situations, but God used them, and their obedience to him is what determined who they are. So we have to know that God always had us on his mind. Amen? And I'm going to point you to the scripture there. We're going to point you to 1 Corinthians 8:3, because it's an inheritance. We're his son. We are an intimate relationship with him. And God has known us before the beginning of the world. So we have 1 Corinthians 8:3 and 2 Timothy 2:19. Again, we encourage you to go search the scriptures, study, pray, and apply these things. Know who you are in Christ. Our fifth one, I am a man blessed with every spiritual blessing. Amen. And because we know in the church and we know in the world we talk about blessed, we put in material, but these things are the spiritual things. That you're blessed, that you can bless, that you can be a blessing to your family, to those around you, to your church, to your ministry you're part of, that you're there for a reason. You are a man blessed in every spiritual blessing. You have already been given and now possess God's treasures. You have been given unfathomable riches in Christ, and it will take the rest of eternity to unfold all your blessings. The things that we have on your earth is that's one of the things as Christian men we should understand. And I've learned, come to know, that the things that we have here on earth is only for a short time compared to eternity. And the things that we have here, the temporal things, the blessings we have, God has put us here for a reason. First, he's put us here that we, as once we come into the faith and understanding, we are to bless others. We are to share the gospel. There's no greater gift we can give our children, our stranger, our friend, our family, than the gospel of Jesus Christ, that their lives, too, can be blessed. That they can be connected to God. They can become sons and daughters of God, the children of God. But we have to be able to share the wealth and understand and give a testimony to our lives of who God is in our life and who it means to us. And can we share that faith to the lost, to the unbeliever? Are we being a light? Are we being salt and light as God has called us to be? Are we discipling others? Are we mentoring? Are we ministering to the sick, to homeless, the less fortunate? What are we doing? We have so much inside of us. These are the blessings we're talking about. We're not talking about cars and houses and stuff and money and things. These spiritual blessings. And then the most greatest blessing we have is the gift of the Holy Spirit living within us, that we can do all things through Christ to strengthen us, the Holy Spirit within us. Amen. So I want to point you to I'm a man that's blessed with spiritual blessings, Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3, and Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 7. I pray that you would study and pray and apply that word to your life today and understand who you are and be encouraged by it. Know who you are and walk in the blessing that God has given you. Amen. I am accepted man. I have been accepted and welcomed by God, our Father. And he is our Father, our spiritual Father. He loves us like a father. For all the fathers out there, how much do you love your children and would give and do anything for them? And just multiply that by eternity, what God is willing to do for us. We're no longer rejected. We're no longer outsider. God's loved us. We're accepted in his kingdom. We are accepted. If we look at what scripture has done, we look at the Apostle Paul. Paul was directly against Christians, against those followers of Christ. He persecuted, hunted them down, killed them. And then one day he met Christ for himself and God used him. And he was accepted. He knew humbly who he was, that he really didn't deserve it, but he also accepted the blessing. And for Peter, the man who denied Christ 3 times, was with him, was taught by him, but when it came time for him to stand up and be counted as amongst a friend of Christ, he denied him 3 times, angrily and cursed. But yet God restored him. So just as God restored him and Peter and Paul, he can use us too, that we are not rejected. We are not outsiders. We are in the kingdom of God. Once we believe and accept him as Lord and as Savior and become obedient to the Holy Spirit in our lives, we are accepted. Christ is willing to bring all sinners. We were once sinners into his family, and all we have to do is surrender unto his will, and we'll be shown the same love and blessing. Just imagine, some of us are Paul. Some of us are Peter. Some of us Abraham. We're the first in our bloodline to come to Christ. So all those coming after us, we have a responsibility to continue to press into the things of God. Amen? Amen. And then here we're at number 7. We're at the last one here. And first of all, I'd like to thank all the brothers who called in. I see you listening on the line. Those of you who are listening on the website, I thank you for taking time out. You can also go If you want to rebroadcast, listen to it again, or share this with someone, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com. You can share it and be able to and forward it on to folk and be able to just share and be part of and let them hear the conversation. Again, we're live every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. So I ask that you continue to bless us and thank you for supporting us. I see you out there. I see you online. So, amen. The last one we have here is, I am a free man. I am a son. I have sonship. I have been set free. The old man no longer rules. I am no longer a slave to sin, bad habits, or frustration. We've been set free in Christ. We are no longer the man we used to be. We're no longer bound. We're no longer, and let me say this, for those brothers who may, and for those that are listening, come from addictions, come from all kinds of things in your lives, womenizing, hormoning, drinking, drugs, thieving, lying, cheating, all the sins that we can name, you've been set free. You're free now from those. You're free from condemnation now. No one can bring those things back, remind you who you were. As long as they say that's who you were, that's fine. We own that. But I'm no longer that man. I'm no longer that person because I'm a son of God now. I have sonship. And we talk about sonship. We talk about being our father. We have the blessings that our father gives us, the blessings our father provides for us, the protection, the covering, and we submit to his authority as our father. And that's the word of God, and that's the Holy Spirit through Christ Jesus. So knowing that I am a son now, knowing that I've been set free, and the old man no longer rules me, the way I used to think, the way I used to act, the things I used to do, I no longer do because that's not pleasing my God. It's not pleasing to God. It's not pleasing to Christ. I don't want to crucify him again. He's died for those sins, and I don't want to live that way, and I'm not that guy. And my bad habits and the things that frustrate me, that's just, you know, it's the fruit of the Spirit. That comes with growth, comes to understand the things that we can control and the things we can control. Because most time, if we look at frustration and anger, is we get upset over things that we really can't control. And we think we can change it when it doesn't go our way, we can get frustrated. And once we get frustrated and we get emotional, then we get ourselves in trouble. Because the most dangerous place a man can be is in his emotions, because he'll act out and do things out of anger, out of fear, and sometimes even out of love. He won't do the right thing because he's tainted. So we're no longer slaves to our emotions. We're slaves unto righteousness and to the word of God. Amen. And our scripture I want to point you to for being a free man is 32. It's John chapter 8, verse number 32. I encourage you to study it, to pray, to apply it, and come under the submission of the Holy God. Because being saved means you're an obedient follower of Christ, knowing divine truth and being free from sin. That's genuine salvation. I know we talk a lot about the church, about backsliding and all these things, but our genuine faith is going to start to see our obedience to Christ and to his word. And again, it's not us, it's not superficial behavioral change. It's a change of heart and a change of mind, the way we think, the way we feel, and the way we treat others. Is that if we see others as a creation loved by God, then we'll treat them that way. And it starts in our homes with our wives, our husbands, our spouses, our children, all those around us, our church family, how we treat them if we see them as children of God. Amen. Amen. You've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Again, we thank you for joining us tonight. We want to just, again, encourage you to continue to press, to be the man that God has called you to be. Never give up, never give in, and continue to pray and be strengthened and be blessed. We thank you for joining us tonight. God bless you. You can join us again live on Thursday